I want to preach to you today on three enemies that we have in this world. And I think maybe I might have a little bit of a new something here. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. There are no new revelations. Howbeit, there are new revelations to you and me. Because as we read something over in the Bible, we'll read it over and over and over and over and over again. Have you ever noticed that? Then all of a sudden it just jumps out. There it is. There it is. That's amazing, isn't it? And so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You and I have some enemies in this world that we must continually fight against. And our fight is not against you and other people. We're not battling against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And by the way, we need to have our churches strong, and the only way our churches are going to be strong is to be educated in the Word of God. We have the three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Every one of us have a problem with that. Nobody is exempt. You have a problem with the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have an enemy with the world. We have the flesh. This old flesh is a vapor that appears and vanishes away. And then, of course, we have the devil. He is our enemy. And so, what I feel is what I become. So we need to be thinking about who we are, what we are, where we're going. Our flesh is supposed to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And we have three bodies. You know, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." What's the rest of that? What? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, I have never in my life took a bite of the Bible. Have you? Matter of fact, my old body eats physical food. I'm telling you, biscuits and gravy and eggs and bacon. Oh, man, I'm sorry. I'll let you out real quick here, okay? But, you know, I have never ate in my physical body one word of the Word of God. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Not one word of the Word of God have I ever ate in my physical body. My physical body eats physical food.
Right.
Is that wrong? Well, it's just according to how much you eat. Okay? It's not wrong. Matter of fact, our bodies were made to eat physical food. And, you know, the spiritual body, you know, I stand before you today as three people. A body, a soul, and a spirit. My spiritual body, you don't see. You see this old physical body that I have. But my spiritual body is supposed to feed upon the Word of God. Every word, I mean every word of this old King James Bible is to be food for our spiritual body. And most Christians end up malnourished because they do not eat the food that they are supposed to be eating. But we're supposed to feed ourselves upon the Word of God. The physical body feeds on food that we eat, what we hear with our ears, and what we see with our eyes. Okay, that becomes very, very important. The world feeds all of our senses. It's important that we feed on the right things. And what I'm going to say today may be new to some of you. It just dawned on me just recently. And matter of fact, I shared this with an individual just not too long ago, and they said, "You need to write that in a book." And my first thought was, Jerry Ross. So anyway, I hope he'll see this and take hold and do that for me. We have a spiritual body, but we have a physical body. And I believe that one of the biggest failures of the church by whole, by everywhere, all across our world, that one of the biggest problems of our church is not ministering to the physical bodies of people. We minister to their soul, we minister to their spirit, but we do not minister to their physical bodies. And I think as a result of that, we are in big, big trouble. In 1979, we started Faith Music Missions. We recorded about a dozen albums. You know what albums are? Anybody know what albums are? Those are those things about this big around, you know, and it's made out of plastic and it's in a cover. Some of you don't never seen one, but you know, we all know what an album is. We recorded about a dozen albums. So we recorded one for Tennessee Temple. We recorded two for Mina Oglesby. The rest for ourselves and other people. And in the senior year of Ed Russ in high school, I recorded an album of his, and the title song was called Songs in the Night. Where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? And it was very well produced and very well done. Well, in the next year, Ed Russ went to Howells Anderson College as a freshman. Faye Dotson I grew up with in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky. If you know Faye Dotson, some of you would. So I took a whole box of albums to Faye Dotson. I said, "Here," I said, "just give these to whoever you want to." Well, one ended up in the hands of Brother Hiles. And Brother Hiles preached a message on Songs in the Night using that song as a outline for the sermon that he preached. Well, that is what started the recordings for Faith Music Missions on a national level. That got us out all over the country. We started recording for Howells Anderson College. By the way, up until that point, churches were recording in church auditoriums and basements and garages. There was no real professional recordings going on in fundamental churches across the country. And Faith Music Missions introduced a professional recording to the independent Baptist movement across the country. Now, it's interesting that now Faith Music Missions has produced over 10,000 songs. That makes it quite amazing, doesn't it? Well, there's something else that I want to bring to your attention today. I was born in Muhlenberg County, Kentucky, a little place called Nelson Creek, a coal mining camp. Anybody know where Nelson Creek is? One person, two, oh, my wife knows because she dated a good-looking guy from there. But I was born and raised in Nelson Creek, Kentucky. And it's an amazing thing. There was another man in Nelson Creek, Kentucky. Now listen very carefully to what I'm going to say. There was another man in Nelson Creek, Kentucky, and down the road about 2 miles was a place called Brownie. There was another man by the name of Ike Everly. The man's name in Nelson Creek was Kennedy Jones. Kennedy Jones and Ike Everly left Nelson Creek and went all the way up to Hammond, Indiana, and played in taverns across the railroad tracks from First Baptist Church. Kennedy Jones was the father of the thumb picking that later on Merle Travis would pick up on and write 16 Tons and then Chet Atkins, and it became a worldwide sensation. But it started in Nelson Creek, Kentucky, to Hammond, Indiana, just across the street from First Baptist Church. There were two little boys that was the sons of Ike Everly and another cousin by the name of Ted Everly. You know Ted Everly? He passed away. Ted Everly was a cousin to Don and Phil, the Everly brothers. And this is from the horse's mouth. Brother Ted told me this personally. He and Don and Phil Everly would go across the railroad tracks and play on the fire escape of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. And they would get run off by some deacon. This was before Brother Hiles ever went there. They would get run off. And Brother Ted said, I wonder what would have happened if Brother Hiles had been in there and somebody had been soul winning and led us three to the Lord. Ted later became saved and went to Tennessee Temple and became a very successful preacher. But it's interesting that the Everly brothers went to the taverns across the railroad tracks and played on the fire escape of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. By the way, the Everly brothers were the idols of the Beatles. The Beatles absolutely loved the Everly brothers. And so the Everly brothers from Muhlenberg County, Kentucky, has influenced the music of the world, and there have been billions and billions and billions of dollars produced in music by all the people that they influenced. It's interesting how this all comes together. You see, the church has failed to minister to the physical bodies of its believers. Jesus fed the 5,000, didn't he? Jesus opened the blinded eyes, did he not? Jesus healed the sick, did he not? So Jesus ministered to the physical bodies of people. But I believe one of the greatest things that we need in our churches today is to have ministering to the physical bodies. I hope you're with me and I hope you understand what I'm saying. You see, Hollywood has sexually perverted and assaulted men, women, boys, and girls for the last 100 years. They minister to the physical bodies of people all over the country, and Baptist churches have invested billions of dollars into Hollywood in a roundabout way. This church here has made investments in Hollywood. By the way, how many have seen Ten Commandments? How many have seen Ten Commandments? Most of you have, right? Most of you have seen the Ten Commandments. As a child, I saw the Ten Commandments, and as a child, I knew by growing up in Sunday school and church that it was not right according to the Bible. There were flaws in it. Everything that Hollywood produced has been subpar, and you know, they have assaulted this whole country with that. It's absolutely amazing because, you know, they do that in order to get to people, and we allow them to do it. Now, you know, with the billions of dollars that we have invested, and I'm just as guilty as anybody and everybody here, okay? But for the billions of dollars that we have invested in Hollywood, we could have had our own production studios. Wouldn't it be great to have the little Baptist church on the prairie? My wife has watched every one of those over and over and over and over again. Some of them she's got memorized. All right? But have you ever noticed that Hollywood has never presented a preacher in the right fashion? They're always some weirdo, some pervert, some idiot, somebody that just don't know what they're doing. You know why? Because back in the 40s and the 50s and 60s, especially when I was a kid growing up, just about every preacher in the country preached against Hollywood. Hollywood hated churches, hated Baptist preachers, because Baptist preachers preached against Hollywood. Hollywood has had a field day sexually perverting our nation. When we could have had our own production studios. Now, I grew up, like I said, in Muhlenberg County, just down the road from the Everly Brothers. Kennedy Jones grew up in my community. I got out of school, went to Nashville and lived. I was going to be a country star, and wrote some songs and things of that nature. And I was just wrapped up in it, hook, line, and sinker. And I'm so glad that God delivered me out of all of that mess. But I keep thinking of Faith Music Missions. Faith Music Missions. Now, going back with myself just a little bit, I grew up there. I did shows with Buck Owens, Hank Williams Jr. The list goes on and on and on of people that I did shows with. I used to do demo tapes for Dottie Rambo. Some of the classics that she has now, I probably recorded, but I don't even remember what they were, because we were just doing demo tapes where she could demonstrate them in Nashville to the big publishing companies. And so I had a history there and a little bit of professionalism. And when we started Faith Music Missions, we brought a professionalism to the recording industry in the fundamental movement across the country. Very little, if any, professional recordings going on back before Faith Music Missions. Now, we have recorded somewhere in the neighborhood of, like I said, 10,000 songs. But you know what? That's just a drop in the bucket compared to what Hollywood does, what Nashville does, what all these country stars does. You know, it's amazing that you can turn on your radio and you can listen to somebody singing a song that is, it's just way out there. I mean, you know, it's all about the wrong things. When we could have the right music playing the right songs in the right way. Instead of 10,000 songs, it could have been 100,000 songs. Instead of a radio station, it could be 200 radio stations, 2,000 radio stations across the country playing the right kind of music. Have you ever noticed you turn on your radio and it's ba-boom, boom, boom, ba-boom, boom, 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 ba-boom? Matter of fact, sometimes they'll drive by the road there to the radio station in where we are in Evansville, and that old car is breathing boom, 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 boom. Can you imagine what they're hearing? And you know whose fault it is? A whole lot of it is my fault. A whole lot of it is your fault. We're supposed to be taking the gospel to a lost and dying world. And God has given us the avenue. By the way, did God give us the printing press? The first thing printed on a printing press was what? The King James Bible. Isn't that amazing? If God gave us the printing press, did he give us the radio stations? Did he give us the TV stations? And we've just let the devil and the world have its will and its way all over the place. God help us. And so, we have three enemies. The world, and by the way, they are attacking us daily. The flesh. Hollywood and all his cohorts are attacking us daily. And the world, the flesh, and the devil. The devil is on the attack daily. It's important that we feed the body the right foods. Don't you agree? Matter of fact, I was diagnosed a couple of years ago with low-grade leukemia. And then last February, I had an emergency gallbladder operation, and they found out that I had a low-grade lymphoma. And so I'm battling that. And my wife has got a whole packet full of pills that I have to take every day. She's doing everything she can to keep me up and keep me going, because she wants me around for a little while. Thank the Lord for what he's doing. But you know, it's important what we eat. Have I ate the wrong things in my life down through the years? Oh, time and again. Just like you. Right? Just like you. Now my body has a mechanism to take the things that I eat and process it. Okay? I don't have a gallbladder anymore, so it doesn't work. But you know, when you eat food, it goes into your mouth. It tastes real good, doesn't it? Then it goes into your stomach, and you know what your stomach does? It dumps some acid in it and gall from your gallbladder. And if you could taste what's in your stomach, you wouldn't eat it. I mean, it's gross. But then it goes into the small intestines. And from the small intestines, it goes into the marrow of your bones. And in the marrow of your bones, the blood is manufactured. And it's taken through the blood vessels, millions and millions and millions of little bitty blood vessels in your bone and throughout your body. And that takes it to your heart, and then your heart pumps it throughout your body for your health. So it becomes very important that we eat the right physical food for our bodies. I haven't always done that, and you haven't either. We're all guilty of that, aren't we? We eat sugar. By the way, I heard, and I don't know how true this is, but I heard that maple syrup was very good for cancer. So I take a lot of maple syrup. I stay away from sugar. I've just cut out all sugar. Except natural sugar, honey, maple syrup, and things of that nature. But anyway, my body is designed to take all that nutrients and make it into blood and make it into my body for what I need. And then the excess it takes and flushes out. Oh, out of the body. By this way, the spiritual body is the same way. The spiritual body, if you will take the nutrients of the Word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. As you take that spiritual food into your body, and some preacher gets up on the radio or somewhere else and tells you something's wrong, there's a little light that goes on. Uh-oh, he's wrong. That's not right. And then the spiritual body has the same mechanism of taking the good and taking it where it goes, and it has a way of flushing out all the stuff that shouldn't be there. So we have three bodies. God's word is food for the spiritual body. God help us. We need to watch our spiritual diet. You know, it takes three to thrive. Some of you Sunday morning Christians, I'm sorry, please forgive me, but some of you Sunday morning Christians need to start eating more. You need to be, takes three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You need to be here for the night service, and you need to be here for Wednesday night service. And you ought to find a way. You say, well, I can't get there. Find a way. You find a way to go other places. You find a way to go to McDonald's. You find a way to go here, there, and yonder. You can find a way to church if you'll just do it. And so it's important that you eat the right food. And I believe with all of my heart that this man has set a table that is good and wholesome and right for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Many people have weak bodies because they grieve the Holy Spirit. Have you ever grieved the Holy Spirit? I have. I think we all have at one time or another. Grieve not the Holy Spirit when we're sealed until the day of redemption. How are your three bodies doing? Your body, your soul, and your spirit. Maybe you're here today and you've never been saved. You've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. It's important that you realize that you're a sinner and that Jesus died on the cross to give you everlasting life. And if Jesus died on the cross to save you, he wants you to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, may this be the day that you would trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would have your will and your way in our lives. Lord, thank you so much for this great church. And Lord, I pray that you'll have your will and your way in this service today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.